I think most of you could probably repeat a good deal of, if not all of, the Great Commission, couldn't you? You know, I'm sure you've read Matthew 28 a bunch of times, right there at the end, where Jesus appeared to his 11 disciples, and he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations," what? Baptizing them, right? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even how long? To the end of the age. Exactly. You've heard that one over and over again. You may even know the one in Mark, because Mark is very similar, beginning with chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," right? And so you've heard that one, and maybe the one in Luke as well. You've looked at that one as well, where it says, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem," right? You've heard all of these many times. There's even the one in the book of Acts that we've mentioned a time or two, where Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power," right? "Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses," exactly, "to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth," right? So you've heard these great commissions from Matthew and Mark and Luke and Acts. Wait. Aren't we missing something there? How often do we hear the one from John? It just seems like we never hear that one. So let's turn there. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And if you have been following along with our daily reading that we set up at the beginning of the year, it just so happens that today's reading from the New Testament is, yeah, John chapter 20. So perhaps some of you have already gone over it today. We're in John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. Are you with me? Hope you have your Bibles out and ready, or your iPad, iPhone, whatever thing, whatever connected device you've got there, or unconnected paper, you know, whatever it is, just turn with me. John chapter 20, verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled," why? Why were they assembled together on Sunday? For fear of the Jews. Yeah, just, you know, got to make that point there, right? Just one of those things. "And so Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them," what? What did Jesus say to them? "Peace. Peace be with you." Yes, that was an important point. And then it says, "When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad," or maybe your version says overjoyed, or lots of different words there to convey how happy the disciples were to see him. I mean, can you imagine? He had just been crucified Friday, and here's Sunday, they see him again. That had to be something amazing. "And so, peace be to you," he said to them again, right? In verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you, as the Father has sent me." Here it is. This is the commission. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Ooh. Let's unpack that as we go along. But verse 22 will continue. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Again, something similar to what we saw in the book of Acts, where they were told to wait for the power, right? And then it comes. Then comes that verse, which is probably why we don't really read John's Great Commission too often, right? This is probably it right here. Verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. Man, that just makes us a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That makes us even less comfortable. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not all that excited about retaining sins, are you? And so we don't often get to this one because it's a little uncomfortable to go over those verses because we, you know, they're tough verses. Let's face it. That's a tough verse, isn't it? How do you deal with that? I mean, after all, we're not really in favor of men forgiving men's sins and then saying, yeah, see, it's ratified in heaven, right? I mean, that's just tough for us to deal with, isn't it? So it's easier just to kind of ignore these verses. Oh, there's this other one in Matthew, right? We're much more comfortable with Matthew on that score, right? But this is in the Bible, isn't it? So, so let's deal with it, huh? Let's take a look at this one. And in fact, let's just hit this head on and go straight at this verse. Let's just take it and work backwards here. So let's take a look at verse 23 here. Even though it is what we tend to shy away from, let's just go right at it, huh? Who forgives sins? God forgives sins. In fact, if I recall correctly, Jesus, when some guy was let down through the roof, said to him, what? Son, your sins be forgiven you, right? And the Jews about had a heart attack that were sitting around, didn't they? Huh? What? What is he doing? Forgiving sins? Are you kidding me? And Jesus, of course, knew what was going on and said, oh, that's a problem for you? Well, let me just show you that I have the power to do this. Get up and walk. Take your bed. Go home. And the guy gets up, walks out. So even the Jews had a problem with this whole men forgiving sin thing, right? We know only God can forgive sins. There's no question about that. So what are we talking about here? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. Brothers and sisters, we are the ones who bring the message of a sin-pardoning Savior, aren't we? That's part of the Great Commission, that we speak of reconciliation. Luke mentioned that in his, as you recall. This is our work, to bring this message of forgiveness of sin. We are there to bring what God has given us to bring, a message of a loving Savior, one who forgives sins. That's who we are. That's what we do. We are there to bring them the opportunity for forgiveness. If we are taking that message where we ought to, there will be those who will take advantage of what God has for them, yes? There will be those who latch on to a Savior who loves them so much that He would come and die for their sins. A God of love. And yet if we fail, might we also be responsible for those whose sins are retained? It's kind of scary, isn't it? This is the Great Commission. the time when God has offered to us the opportunity to co-work with Him, to be co-laborers with God Himself in bringing a message, a good news message to the dying world. What a blessing it is for you and I. But we also have to recognize that we're not able to do it of ourselves. It is not because we are great and wonderful that we can do this. Our church has an opportunity as a whole, not just this local church, but the world body, to bring to the world a message of hope. We are the messengers to bring that message. And yet he says in verse 22, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I don't know about you, but I'm not capable without God of bringing the message to anyone with any conviction. Are you? As I understand it, conviction is not my place, is it? It is the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, yes? And so if I'm going to bring the message, it needs to be brought with the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't bring it myself. Because as I bring it myself, it's bound to be misunderstood. Only as Jesus breathes on us His Holy Spirit can we take that message. You perhaps remember that Jesus, as the Creator, was there at creation in Genesis, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the water. Both Jesus and the Holy Spirit involved in creation, and now again, He involves us with Him in re-creation. We have the opportunity to work together with the Lord to bring life again. He's breathing physical life at creation, spiritual life at recreation. That's not our prerogative either, is it? We can't forgive sins. We cannot breathe life. We can only be the ones who offer it to others. And so He's given us that opportunity. We are to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to bring that great commission to the world. That's who we are. A power to live like Christ, to do what He did, to be like Jesus in this world. As He was sent by the Father, so He is sending us. In the same way that He was sent, a representative of the Father, He sends us to be representatives of Himself. Read it with me in verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Jesus was sent into this world to make known what God was really like. We are sent in the same manner to let this world know what Jesus is like. That's who we are. That's what we do. We are Christ's representatives on this world. Imagine with me for just a moment. If Jesus had gone to Pilate's hall, he'd been mocked, had the robe put on him, and he said, "This is what I must do to save humanity. This is what I must suffer because I love. And they had made up that crown of thorns and mashed it down on his head. And he said, "This too I will suffer for them." And then they'd taken that reed and beaten it into his head. And he said, "This too I will endure for them." And then they began to spit upon him. And imagine if Jesus at that point had said, "Enough! That just crosses the line." Can you imagine? But how often do we say, "Oh, that's enough, man. I've put up with enough here." Do we represent the power of Christ to do for others because of love? All heaven is waiting for men and women through whom Christ can demonstrate the power of Christianity. I didn't say that. That comes from the book of Maranatha, page 128, if you'd like to look it up. All heaven is waiting for us to be able to demonstrate the power of Christianity is not in its flash and glory and creative talent, but in the lowliness, the meekness to accept as Christ did the difficulties of this world because we love other people. God is waiting. People out there are waiting. Imagine as Christ stands in the place of the Father, and Philip says, "Show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." And what did Jesus answer? "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet thou hast not known me? You don't know me? If you have seen me, you've seen the Father, right? As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." Can we say to people out there who ask us, "Show us Jesus," can we say to them, "If you've seen me"? I think I'd have a tough time saying that. How about you? And yet that's what heaven is waiting for people who will reveal the character of Christ to a dying world. People who love like Jesus loved. People who care enough to suffer for Jesus. Are we there? Of ourselves, we will still get mad at that person who cuts us off in traffic. It's just the way we are. And so, how desperately we need verse 22, huh? How desperately we need Jesus to breathe on us and for us to receive the Holy Spirit. Because that's where the power is. If we're going to accept this commission and carry it out, it's going to be because we represent Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, the Lord is telling Jeremiah as he commissions him for service, as he commissions him and sends him out. God tells Jeremiah, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. This was not Jeremiah's message. This was the message of God put in his mouth. Brothers and sisters, do we as Seventh-day Adventists have a message for the world? Is it a message you made up? Is it a message the church made up? Is it a church that Ellen, is it a message that Ellen White made up? No, it's God's message given by God's word for a people at the end of time, yes? Three angels represent this powerful message to go to the world. And it's your job and my job to take up that commission, to accept that work that God has laid upon us. We are the ones who have this. We are Christ's representatives to do for Christ what Christ did for the Father, to show him to the world. Jesus' character, what's that like? He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? No limits. No limits. There was no point in time where Jesus said, that's enough, I'm done with this. I have put up with all of this, I'm going to put up with. Never happened. Can we love like that? Not without the Holy Spirit. Not without the Spirit. Am I Christ-like? Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, maybe you can do it, but whew, I don't think I ever could. You know, that's just too much. Think about Jeremiah again. God put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. And Jeremiah had one other thing he said to God. He says, oh, I'm just a child. I'm just a child. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7, God says, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go. You shall go to all to whom I send you. You shall go to all to whom I send you. God had a work for Jeremiah. He commissioned him. He sent him out. And he gave him the power and the message to make it happen. Brothers and sisters, that is the same for you and I. We're not going in our own strength. We're not going because we're well-trained. We're not going because we have experience. We're going because we're sent. We're going because we have the power of God attending us as we receive His Holy Spirit. In verse 19, Jesus had come into the midst of them and said unto them, very last line of verse 19, peace be with you. Verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Christ comes to his followers and he brings peace into their crazy world. Imagine what their world was like, how topsy-turvy it was. On one day, they're bringing him into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they see the fulfillment of Scripture. Here he comes, just as Zechariah had said. He's coming to rule. He's going to take the throne. And the next day, he's crucified. The next day, they're totally blown away. Jesus is gone. They sit through the Sabbath wondering, what just hit us? What happened? The very next day, Jesus is alive, and without knocking through locked doors, he's standing in their midst. What a whirlwind weekend. Whew. And how does Jesus greet them? Peace. Peace. God is in control. God has it in His hand. You can trust Him. God is there. In all of our daily perplexities and conflicts, you and I are called upon to have Christ's peace. It's not peace that we can manufacture. It's not peace as the world gives it. It's peace because we have the Comforter with us, the Holy Spirit. It's peace not because we have an easier life than anybody else because we're Christian. In fact, if we were, Satan would have an excuse to say, oh yeah, no wonder they have such a peaceful life. You're taking all the trouble away. He said that once, didn't he? You take all their troubles away. No wonder it's so easy for them. But we're to have peace in the trouble. That's what God calls us to do. To have peace in the craziness. Not that we don't panic when our check engine light comes on and we're out 50 miles from anywhere. But that we know that God is there. We have peace in our souls because we have peace ultimately with God. And if the car crashes, we know we have peace with God. That's not what we're worried about. We have peace. We talked about 3 weeks ago, we talked about a man. Oh, wait, not just any man, a possessed man. Oh, wait, not just a possessed man, a possessed Gentile that was sent to his family with the good news. Then we talked about a person at a well, but not just any person, a woman. But not just any woman, this was a Samaritan woman. And she was sent to the city with a message of peace. And last time we got together, we talked about Jesus and 12 disciples that were sent to the nation of Judah with a message. Today, the message comes home. Today, the commission comes to you. Today, the commission comes to me. Today, the commission comes to us as a church, God's people. Not just, note, not just God's persons, but God's people. Calling us to a work of reconciliation. He's calling you and I. Now, I want you to think for just a minute. You're sitting in that upper room for fear of the Jews, doors bolted. Your ears are tuned, boy, to whatever might be out in that hallway. Right? And maybe you lost count, but the last time you checked, there were 12 in the room, and now there's 13. And he begins to speak, and you realize that it is the man who you have seen do miracles in the past to heal people, to feed people, to raise the dead, to speak into people's lives changes that saved families and cities and nations, those who would be saved. And now he's come to you without even interruption, walking into the room without any ability that you could see. He's there in the midst, this one who has done miracles. He has done awesome things, and now he commissions you. That's pretty believable, isn't it? If he's done all of those things, who was dead and now is resurrected, if he does these things, that's a pretty good commission, huh? That's one you can take to the bank. But how well does it translate 2,000 years? Today it's in a book. Today we read it as though it were just another novel sometimes. We look at it and we wonder, well, how does this touch me? Why is this important to me? How does this commission affect me? What does it mean? Is it even still valid today? Is this still something we need to think about? Do we still serve the one who did the miracles? Do we still serve the one who came into the room unannounced and the door wasn't open? Do we still serve a risen Savior? Amen. Come on now. Do we still serve a risen Savior? Amen. Thank you. Yes. Yes, we do. Does He still call us from the fisherman's net and from the table of the tax collectors? Does He still call us from being the zealot ready to take over from Rome? Does He still call us from being the doubting Thomas? Does He still call us from every walk of life, from every situation, from every family, tribe, tongue, nation, and people? Does He still call us all today? Are we still given a commission today to take this gospel to all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come? Is that still what we're here for? Are there still three angels flying in the midst of heaven, or are they now walking along the dusty road somewhere and they got lost because they didn't have a GPS? Where are we? Brothers and sisters, where are we? Is this what burns in your heart? Is this what makes you on fire? Is this what brings you up in the morning so that you say, yes, I have another day, another opportunity to witness for God. I have another opportunity to tell someone about the one I love so much, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Open your bulletin, please. In the general announcements in the middle of your bulletin right there, like the fourth one down. Are you with me? Fourth one down. What's it say there? Help with Bible studies. Help with Bible studies. Is Elder Taylor here? Where's Elder Taylor? Elder Taylor, would you come down, please? Food pantry needs help to give Bible studies on Wednesdays between 4 and 6 p.m. I'm going to invite you here in a moment to come down and talk with Elder Taylor if you're available from 4 to 6 p.m. on Wednesdays.
Before you do that, I'd like Darren to come up and tell the people what he saw on Wednesday.
Exactly.
I saw Elder Taylor giving a Bible study to a whole room full of people. That's what I saw.
You know, it doesn't need to be any more complicated than that, does it? It's what the Lord wants us to do. And He's got a whole room full of people. No, no, please don't go. No sneaking off here. I need you to be here. You can sit right here. People will come. If you can come and help this room full of people, I invite you to come. To come just now. Yeah, get up, come down. I want you to come and help out because God has a work for us to do. We are the people of the three angels. We are flying. We're not just sitting. We're walking. We are flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. And maybe you're at work. Maybe you're at work Wednesdays. Okay. Brothers and sisters, I have other Bible studies. Bible studies I can't get to either. Darren, you got a neighbor, don't you? What's his name? Sam. That's right, Sam, you got it. Sam needs Bible studies. I need someone to have Bible studies with Sam. I have, where is he? Where is Kit Miller? Where's Kit Miller? Kit Miller's doing Bible studies. I need people to go with Kit Miller and help Kit. Bible studies. Bible studies are out there, brothers and sisters. People waiting for you. It's nice for us to come and worship. It's nice for us to have all those pretty red books on our shelves. Those are great. It's cool if we have Sabbath school lessons that go back to 1967 when you joined the church. And you keep them all. Come to my house. I have a whole bunch of them, yeah. Those are great. But more than red books, more than Sabbath school lessons, I want people. I want people. People whose lives hang in the balance, waiting for someone to be there for them. Won't you come? Maybe you can't come because of Wednesday you're at work. You can do a Bible study at another time. Come down now. I'm ready. We'll hook you up. We'll make it happen. But I don't know. Neither did Jeremiah. Come down now. Right this minute. Come on down here. We're ready. Sit right here on this side with Elder Taylor. And we will help you out. We will help you to do some Bible studies. This is where it is. Maybe Bible studies aren't your thing. Maybe you're just not able to give a Bible study. That's all right. We need others who will talk to their friends and neighbors because evangelism isn't just the watering where we have the people who are getting the Bible study. It's not just the reaping where we have someone come and give us the meeting. But it's also way back here at the beginning too, someone willing to talk to their neighbor. If you're willing to talk to your neighbor, come on down. Come on down. We want you to talk to your neighbor, to your friend, to your coworker, with those who you can touch wherever they are. Because brothers and sisters, this is keeping the commandments of Jesus to love like he loved.